Join us this morning as we talk about a precious promise Jesus made to his disciples and all who would follow him, and how you can be a part of it.
Stay with us.
Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, we're excited to be here waking up with you. And today is World Soil Day.
Wow, World Soil Day. I wonder what that's all about. Well, actually, friends, it's about promoting soil health to preserve global food supply. It's very interesting when you think about it that the quality of the soil is the most essential component to allow our food to grow.
And that reminds me of a parable of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 13. There, Jesus identifies four types of soil that represent different conditions of our hearts. But notice, only one type of soil, the good soil, produces an abundance of good fruit. Mm-hmm. You see, the condition of our hearts determines the kind of fruit we will produce. And so we encourage you to read the passage found in there in Matthew chapter 13 and let God speak to your heart today. So let's begin our program by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1933, the 21st Amendment to the United States Constitution was officially ratified, signaling the conclusion of the nationwide prohibition of alcohol imposed by the 18th Amendment. At precisely 5:32 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Utah played a pivotal role by becoming the 36th state to ratify the amendment, thereby securing the essential 3/4 majority of states' approval. Notably, Pennsylvania and Ohio had already ratified it earlier the same day. The Prohibition era and its eventual repeal can be viewed as a lesson in the limitations of legalistic approaches to morality and behavior. It underscores the importance of grace, inner transformation, and the insufficiency of external rules to change hearts. Just as the Prohibition's failure to eliminate alcohol consumption demonstrated the inadequacy of laws in altering behavior, Christianity teaches that personal transformation comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not mere rule-keeping.
You see, Jesus seeks to transform our hearts, not merely at outward behavior. However, as we draw closer to Him and have a real relationship with Him, our changed hearts will be visible to others by our changed attitudes, behavior, and lifestyle. And people will see a difference in us.
Amen. A heart difference. Praise God. In 1944, as General Douglas MacArthur departed from the Philippines, he vowed that he would return. Did he ever return? And what can we learn from this in our own spiritual journey? Well, let's find out on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Some of the most memorable words in history were spoken here at this isolated railway station in the small town of Tarawi, located about 200 kilometres north of Adelaide in South Australia. Here's what happened. In March 1942, General Douglas MacArthur was forced to flee the Philippines in the face of an aggressive Japanese invasion. MacArthur had been appointed as Field Marshal of the Philippines by the United States government, and he had been tasked with protecting the Philippines from Japanese invasion. But unable to fend off the Japanese, MacArthur, his family, and small team of close associates fled to Australia on the US B-17 airplanes. He landed in Darwin and then made his way to South Australia by train. Disembarking from the train, he stood right here on this platform and addressed a small group of people waiting to welcome him. He vowed that he would return to the Philippines with these famous words, "I came out of Bataan and I shall return." MacArthur vowed that though he had been forced to leave the Philippines, he would return and liberate the country from the Japanese. True to his word, in 1944, MacArthur landed in the Philippines and worked to liberate the country from the Japanese. In September 1945, he accepted a formal surrender from the Japanese on board the USS Missouri. MacArthur was able to keep his promise. 2,000 years before MacArthur, Jesus made a similar promise just before returning to heaven. He promised his disciples that he would come again, that he would return. This is what he said, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is one of the most encouraging, hope-filled promises ever made. It's filled Christ's followers with optimism because they know that something good, something wonderful is going to happen. It allows us to be hopeful and confident about the future. Jesus is coming back to get us and fix our broken world. It's the best news ever. Here are five important things you need to know about the second coming of Jesus. One, it'll be a glorious event. Here's what the Bible says. "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory." And here it is again. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory." So there's point number one. The second coming of Christ is going to be a glorious event. Point two, when Jesus comes, all the holy angels will come with him. Here's what the Bible says. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him." Now, point number three. The second coming of Jesus is going to be a visible event. Everyone will see Jesus come. Here's what the Bible says. "He's coming with clouds and every eye will see him." And point number four, it's going to be audible. We're all going to hear Jesus come. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God." And finally, point number five, it's going to be the same Jesus that comes back. The Bible makes it very clear that when Jesus returns at his second coming, he will be the very same Jesus who walked the dusty pathways of Israel, healing the sick and befriending the lonely. Here's what the angels told Jesus' disciples. "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So there are five important points about the second coming of Jesus. One, it's going to be a glorious event. Two, all the holy angels are going to come with Jesus. Three, it's going to be a visible event. Every eye will see Jesus come. Point four, it's going to be an audible event. Every ear will hear Jesus coming. Point number five, it's going to be the same Jesus who was here 2,000 years ago that's coming back. Of all the events of history, the second coming of Jesus will be the most significant. It's an event that you will not want to miss. Why not make a commitment to prepare yourself for Jesus coming today?
For your free gift, visit hope.study to choose a free study to delve deeper into today.
And if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us.
Right after this short break, we will begin by welcoming the Let's Pray team. Stay with us.
Welcome back. And now we're going to spend some inspiring prayer time with the Let's Pray team. Join us.
Hello, hello, family. It is time to pray. My name is Susan Cromwell. I'm one of two hosts for Hope Channel's Let's Pray. And I'd like to pray over the topic of just getting through today. Maybe you could call it endurance. But for many, there's not a 5-year plan or a 30 days from now plan. There are circumstances that surround some of us where Making it through today is the miracle, and I'd like to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. You're here with us in those places, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you're our strength, that you're our hope, that you're our answer, that you're our endurance, Heavenly Father. There are many who will sit next to a hospital bed today, Heavenly Father. There are many who are walking into difficult work situations or maybe facing today without a job again. And Heavenly Father, I just pray, I ask Jesus, that you would help each one of us in our place of discouragement, Father, that the enemy may not be able to whisper more lies in that place, that you would help us to choose the truth over the lies, that you would help us to recognize the voice of the enemy over the voice of our King. Heavenly Father, that still small voice, the enemy tries to be so loud. The enemy tries to drown you out, Father. But I pray for your stillness in this day for each one of us, Lord, that regardless of the circumstances, as difficult as they can be, that we would choose you. And Father, in the places where folks feel like they don't even have the energy to believe right now, Lord, I pray that this community would have the faith for them. That we would continue to pray for those around us, Lord, who are indeed facing incredible circumstances. That we would remember, according to Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, especially the hard things. And Lord, in the places where we feel like we're just going to fall over, I pray that you would help us to understand that you're able to carry us in those places. That we don't have to power through. We'll make it through, and you'll bring us there, Father, and we thank you for that. If we don't feel good enough, that's okay. You're enough, Father. If I don't feel strong enough, you're all the strength that I need. And that making it through today depends on you, not on me. I thank you, Jesus, that your love and ability to carry us through and to make a way where it looks like there is no way is not dependent upon our behavior, but simply of your goodness and your love for us. Lord, I know there are principles that can be applied to help us and to strengthen us in the midst of dark times. I pray, Lord, that we would begin to remember them, that if we cannot remember them, that we would go to your word to seek them. Heavenly Father, I pray that the enemy would not be able to settle discouragement or despair over any person within the sound of this prayer, Lord. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray that you would loose your life and encouragement and compassion, your comfort, Jesus, that is poured out for us so that we might comfort others. You're the answer, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that in Romans 5 it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And that's what we need, Father, is your hope. So help us, Jesus, to have a holy fortitude during these times where even if we don't see change, Lord, we still see Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the way that you love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you guys today.
Amen. Well, coming up next, Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are so happy you're here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. Today, I want to talk to you about dry seasons. Fear not dry seasons. And I want to start by telling you about my mother's oatmeal cookies. She used to make these for me. And now that she's no longer here, my aunts make these for me. And they're very nutritious and they are delicious. But they have all kinds of ingredients. moist ingredients and dry ingredients and sweet and salty. But all of it together makes for these awesome oatmeal cookies. And have you noticed that life is like that too? We get all kinds of things, but the end result, that God is in charge, it's a wonderful thing, but it does have dry seasons and moist seasons and sweet seasons and not so sweet. And we need to trust that God knows what He's doing and that He will get us through the dry seasons. So today we're going to talk about, fear not, dry seasons. And for that, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. This is the prophet Elijah, and there is a big problem going on. There's a king, Ahab, who has done evil in the sight of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can read in the previous chapter, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. He actually led Israel into a very strong Baal worship. And I need to tell you a little bit about this before we start. Elijah is the one that is going to confront the king with this. And Elijah, the name means the Lord is God. Yahweh is God. Elijah. And Baal is supposed to be the Lord of rain and dew. So they always talked about this pagan god as the Lord of rain and dew. So the first thing that is going to happen is that God is going to target that to show them that that Baal is not God at all. And chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was at the set of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." It's interesting that he mentions both dew and rain, because Baal was supposed to be the god of dew and rain. And so he says there's going to be a drought until the word of the Lord comes back. And so we start wondering what's going to happen with the prophet Elijah. You know, he says there's not going to be any rain, but where is he going to go? Where is he going to hide from this king? How is he going to eat? Well, God is going to provide for him through the drought, because the drought had a purpose. It had a greater purpose in the, in the history of Israel. And it's interesting, because when we go to verse 3, God gives the prophet the next step for him. It says, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." God was in charge not just of the rain and of the brook and of the waters, but of all of nature. He was commanding the ravens to feed Elijah. And we are told here in verse 6 that the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And so he's being provided for. He's not going to die in this drought, because God is with him and he's going to see him through it. And it's interesting, because in verse 7 it says, "But it happened after a while that the brook dried up." And so you say, well, but he was a prophet of God. He must have known everything that was going to happen, right? No, that's not the way God works. He gives you only the next step. He doesn't give you the whole map. So he says to Elijah, "Now you're going to go to the land of Sidon." Verse 9, "I rise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, this is the territory where the evil Jezebel came from. Her father was in charge in that territory, and they were all pagans, and they worshiped Baal. And God has chosen a widow over there in that other side to provide for Elijah. Elijah gets there probably with some questions, because, you know, widows were not really rich. This must be a really rich widow. But no, he gets there, and if you continue reading, and I hope you read all of chapter 17, it's fascinating. He finds a widow there and says, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." And she says, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And I'm gathering a few sticks to prepare for me and my son. And then we will eat and die because we have no more. And Elijah says, no, God will provide. And here we get the do not fear, verse 13. Elijah said to her, do not fear. And then he says that God is going to do a miracle. Thus says the Lord God, verse 14, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted and the jar of oil will not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. It's interesting because God was teaching the prophet that he would provide for them daily. And he provided for them for him daily at the brook, and now he provides for him and the widow and the son daily. You know, it's interesting because God doesn't give us the map. I always wish that God would give me a map with all the seasons, the dry seasons, the moist seasons, the sweet, the salty, to see what the cookie of my life was going to look like. But God doesn't work like that. He gives you a map and you open the map and all you have is one spot that says you're here and this is your next step. And so he says to Elijah, go to the brook and the ravens will feed you. And then he says, okay, now you go to this other place, Zarephath, and the widow will feed you. And then he kept doing this, right? He kept giving him only the next step, not the whole map, just one step at a time. And he does the same with us. And we can trust him in dry seasons that he will give us the next step and the next step and the next step. So twice already, God has defeated death, you know, because Elijah didn't die by the brook because he was fed by the ravens and drank from the brook. And now the widow and Elijah and the son of the widow also are not going to die because God will do a miracle and they will have the little amount of flour and the little amount of oil every day because God will provide for them. And then the child of the widow died. And Elijah resurrected the child. This is all in just chapter 17, how God brought life and life and life when death was supposed to be around. And this is how he works. There is a greater purpose, and God makes all things work together for those who love him, for his redeeming purposes. That beautiful verse in Romans 8:28, all things work together for God's purposes for those who love him. Yeah, this story became an example that Jesus used in one of his sermons in Luke 4, showing how the grace of God is greater than we imagined. So remember this, only salvation was once and for all. Only salvation was done once and for all. Everything else is done daily. God gives us only the next step, the next step, and the next step. And he puts it all together to bring a greater purpose, a beautiful thing. So if you are in a dry season today, remember, fear not dry seasons. God will see you through.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for your inspiring words of encouragement.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share this with a friend, or even watch some part of today's program again and again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have music, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, and a delicious recipe from the Healthy Foodie. Plus, we will have a fun talk on the egg dance and a short segment on vaping. We hope you'll join us. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, also visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
We hope you didn't miss that. That's hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. Oh, and check out the website. We are sure you'll be blessed. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise we want to share with you. And it's found in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13.
It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
I really love that verse.
Me too.
Now, friends, do you ever feel discouraged or feel like giving up? Well, take heart. You know, God has promised that as we stay faithful to him and follow him, we have an eternal reward awaiting us. So, friends, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Instead, turn to Jesus, draw close to him, and keep your heavenly land in mind. Begin with the end in mind and keep it close to your heart.
We've sure enjoyed our time with you this morning, friends, and we pray that you will keep these reminders of God's love with you throughout your day.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, today we are thankful for the goodness of God. It's so undeserving. We're so humbled by the way that it fills our life with hope. And today, Lord, we want to receive all that you have for us, all your goodness. We need it, Lord. And we pray that you would guide our steps as we walk with you and talk with you and draw closer to you every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.